Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And a very pleasant good evening to you from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado. It's very much like spring here tonight. Tonight we're going to have a very interesting guest on. His conclusions, or his findings, I should say, are going to shock you in some ways, because we're going to talk about the mysterious San Luis Valley. In the San Luis Valley, we've talked about this before on previous programs. The mysterious San Luis Valley is a very large area of southern Colorado, and my guest tonight is Chris O'Brien, and Chris has been down there for several years now, and he's a writer for the Crestone Eagle newspaper in Crestone, Colorado. And the mysterious San Luis Valley, the reason it's been coined that by Chris is that this valley has got almost every feature of the UFO phenomena, including Bigfoot, unusual cattle deaths, UFO sightings. Matter of fact, last, it's going on 2 years now ago, there was a very strange flash of light or heat that was picked up by NORAD down in that area down there, and I understand that there was quite a bit of sighting activity surrounding that. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009 is our toll-free number. Give us a call tonight if you have any questions about the San Luis Valley, or about whatever it is that Chris is going to talk about tonight. So, I'd like to welcome Chris. Good evening, Chris. Chris, are you there?
Michael.
Yeah, there you go.
There you are. Hello to you and your guests. It's been a while.
It has. And I understand that some of these things that you have discovered are going to be quite interesting tonight.
It's it's always a kind of an ongoing adventure down here, trying to ride herd on all the activity that's being reported. The last several weeks, it seems to have quieted down here quite a bit, and we did have quite an active period on the second week of January last month. That we had a bunch of reports come in of some very, very unusual objects that were seen by residents south of Alamosa, about 40 miles north of the New Mexico border. And some calls to all your, legitimate agencies that fly here, Colorado Air National Guard, Buckley Field, and Lowry Field, Fort Carson, and all the other military bases around here revealed that they claim no knowledge or even knowledge of any classified sorts of aerial activity here. And if it's not our conventional government or military force, I wonder what the heck or who is flying around here in these very strange craft. We had quite a spectacular close proximity sighting. A woman was within 1,000 feet of what she described as a 50 to 60 foot object, about the size of a two-car garage or a small house, and she got a real good look at it. She figured she was about 900 feet away from it, and it was about 70 feet up in the air, and she immediately ran in and called me, and I got three calls, hot on her call's heels, from area residents down there reporting a very similar type of thing. And of course, all your, lieutenant colonels and your majors, they just totally disavow any knowledge of it. And but I find it very interesting. All of a sudden, we have the flurry of activity like that, and then it just ceases very
suddenly,
very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's start out by defining the San Luis Valley in this area. Give us kind of a lay of the land, if you will.
Well, the San Luis Valley is in the south central portion of Colorado. It extends halfway. Half of the valley is north of the border in Colorado. The other half extends down to Taos, New Mexico. And it's a very unique place for many reasons. It's the largest alpine valley in the world. It sits at about an average height of about 7,600 feet, so we're way up in the air here. It's completely ringed by mountains, which renders it radar invisible below 18,000 feet.
That's a pretty high ceiling, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it's got a lot of kind of test tube type qualities to it, in that it's one of the few places in the continental United States with no measurable pollution. Has a very, very sparse population. We have incredible anomaly areas here. We have collision points between maximum and minimum intensity aeromagnetic regions, or as some people like to call them, vortexes here.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, it's just the history of the place is quite amazing. San Luis Valley has quite an exalted history in the traditional Native American belief systems. It's a location of the Sacred Mountain of the East, of the Sipapu, or the place of emergence for all the southwestern Indians, where they go underground to hide during earth changes.
Mm-hmm.
I could just go on, and we could talk about that. I am writing a book about all this stuff called The Mysterious Valley, which will chronicle my attempts to try to get to the bottom of some of the more immediate mysteries that we have here. I'm going to try to cover as much ground in the book as I can, pertaining to the history of the area and some of the more celebrated things that have happened here. This is the birthplace of the first publicized unusual animal death, or as people popularly refer to them, as cattle mutilations.
Was that the case in Del Alamosa?
Yeah, the Snippy the Horse case, September 7, 1967, which was the first publicized case of this sort, unlike any of the others that have occurred here since. But so it is a very, very special place. Not many people know about this area. We have a very, very sparse population. That's changing. People are starting to move in here. But as a result of, all these various factors that I've mentioned, I must add that we have several very interesting flight training areas for the government and for the military. They do maneuvers in these MOAs, or military operations areas. And one of the things I just recently found out is there may be a provision in a pending proposal to expand this military operations area. There may be some form of prototype testing of aircraft here, testing of prototype aircraft.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I the further I get into this, the more I'm starting to get the feel that a lot of some of the craft sightings that we have down here could possibly be secret military government type testing or training. And the reason why I say that is because we're seeing very, very similar reports of similar types of craft from other areas in the country that have, curiously enough, similar types of operations in flight areas.
Okay. We're going to go to our break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Chris O'Brien. We're talking about the mysterious San Luis Valley in southern Colorado. Is the government responsible for the unusual sightings down there? Well, we're going to find out when we come back from this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. And every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more, available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more. Available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
Month after month, we hear the laments. Where are the quality investments? Interest rates are down. Bonds and IRAs flat. Well, one investment has surfaced recently, paying enormous dividends. It's priced reasonably, it's simple to purchase, and while you can't buy it on the stock market, you can buy it at your supermarket. It's any product or packaging made from recycled materials. When you buy those products, the paper, plastic, metal, and glass that you've recycled gets put to good use, and recycling keeps working to help protect the earth. So look for products and packaging made from recycled materials and buy recycled. In a world of investments, it's the only one that means the world to all of us. For a free brochure on buying recycled, call the Environmental Defense Fund at 1-800-CALL-EDF.
This message from the Ad Council, the U.S. EPA, and the Environmental Defense Fund.
Some of the things you'll hear on this program are simply unbelievable. But what if they're for real? Keep an open mind and stay tuned to the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. That's a toll-free number. Give us a call. My guest tonight is Chris O'Brien, and we are talking about the mysterious San Luis Valley in southern Colorado. There's been a little bit of everything down there, and we're gonna touch on a little bit of all of it. Chris, welcome back. And we were talking before the break about your feeling that the a lot of these sightings might be the result of government testing.
Yeah, that's my hunch. I just it's very difficult for me to believe that all this stuff that we're seeing is of some sort of extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional level. Or from some sort of level like that. It appears to me that we're dealing with something a lot more down to earth and terrestrial, but very secret. Because of the amount of activity that seems to have been going on here in the past 3 years, obviously I try to approach my investigation from an objective, skeptical almost point of view, and try to rule out mundane explanations for some of the fantastical type things that are being reported here. And although I can't really go ahead and negate all the reports that are coming in, I can, I think, discount some of them as a result of the amount of what may be secret military activity that's going on down here. I'm starting to jokingly refer to the place as Area 52.
Now, I would have to agree with you on some of this because of the fact that, and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an unqualified conclusion, not even a conclusion, really. It's not unqualified, though. Chris has been looking at this for several years down there. But, Chris, tell us a little bit more about the mysterious logistical outlay, I guess, of the land down there. I know that one of the ranches down there, the Taylor Ranch, for example, is currently embroiled in a bitter legal battle with the state of Colorado over ownership of that.
Oh, yeah. It's been going on for 35 years almost.
Yeah, and the thing is that ranch has been the site of numerous cattle deaths.
Yeah, actually, based on the information that I've uncovered and reading the body of information that's out there about the unusual animal death phenomenon, I can pretty much, in all honesty, say that I feel the hardest hit locale in this whole phenomenon is in the Chama Canyon area, which is the gateway to the Taylor Ranch, if you will. We have, in the space of 3 years, we had anywhere from 120 to possibly even 150 of these cases down there, and just a handful of them were actually publicized by the media. I have one rancher that lost 49 head in 2 weeks. 17 of these were classic mutilations. The rest were either shot or stolen. Another rancher lost 24. Another rancher lost 19. And then, according to two ex-county sheriffs, every other ranch in the area had at least one, which is an incredible statement. You know, when the one ex-sheriff told me that, I kind of scratched my head a little bit and said, yeah, okay. And then I went ahead and a couple days later interviewed another one, and he said the same thing. So you start to take these things a little bit more seriously when ex-law enforcement makes pretty fantastic claims like that. There is some evidence to suggest that the feud between the locals in Costilla County and the owner of this big 77,000-acre ranch, that there is a body of evidence to suggest that there were some, shall we say, politically or societal induced animal deaths down there that were very human in their origin, at least who was actually doing the animal killing. And I don't find any evidence in any of the literature that's been published about this phenomenon that would suggest such a, I don't know, a scenario, I guess would be the only word. When ranches are targeted for so many animals in such a short period of time, it, you know, it just doesn't quite jibe with the rest of the phenomenon, you know, and how it's unfolded
sure.
around the country.
I guess based on what you've discovered and found in your research, and I'm sure this is a question that's on a lot of people's minds, is what would the motivation be of, say, a group of men that would mutilate or do this to an animal? What would be the motivation?
Well, it's pretty clear in my mind, you know, having dug into the relationship between the locals and the owners of what used to be a common area. It was one of two commons areas in the whole country, the other, of course, being the famous Boston Common. The 77,000-acre Taylor Ranch was given to the people of Costilla County to use as a commons area, and he, a rancher from North Carolina, wrangled private ownership in 60. And they've been battling over it ever since. And it's some of the locals, it's suspected, were involved in shooting the owner of the ranch. Actually, I mean, they really had a blood feud going. They murdered his foreman. It really got ugly down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me that if this kind of feud was going on, that this would be a perfect vehicle to strike fear in superstitious Spanish-American ranchers, you know, to shut them up or to force them out. The owner of this ranch made claims to people that he was trying to chase people out, and one rancher was offered $1 million for his 100 acres even. And I kind of scratched my head and really tried to figure out, well, why would he go to such lengths to try to frighten people, scare people, or force them out? And there's some evidence to suggest that one of the largest untapped gold fields may exist underneath the Taylor Ranch. So that may have something to do with it, or it may not.
I do recall seeing an article in the Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post here in Denver some weeks back that they believe that they have found gold even around the Crestone area.
Yeah, well, the latest thing now is they found oil here.
Oil, too.
So, yeah.
Well, first we have water. You know, that was the site of the big the water grab deal.
Right. They were trying to sell all the water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now we've got oil and possibly gold. And there's a lot of things that, to me, spell out political motivation in a lot of the stuff that's going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I know you mentioned, too, the first segment, that there was also a possibility that the military is going to increase their aerial activity around there. I do know that the Sierra Club has been battling the government trying to get them out of there. That there have been a lot of low-flying military flights, training flights taking place down there.
Yeah, conventional,
sure.
Conventional flights.
So. Yeah.
Yes, and the opposition is very well organized among the locals here, on both sides of the hill here, over in Huerfano and Custer County, as well as in the counties here in the San Luis Valley. It's very organized. The original Operation Red Eye was defeated, and they went ahead and just buffed it up and gave it a new name and called it the Airspace Alliance, I think. And that's the one that we're battling against now. But I have sources who have been doing some research in some of the fine print of the original proposal for Operation Red Eye, and they did find a provision was in there to fly prototype aircraft here. And it's their guess that they went ahead and did it anyway.
That's possibly true. Of course, they're not going to tell us that they did anyway.
No way.
Okay, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. My guest is Chris O'Brien, and we're discussing the mysterious San Luis Valley. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit more depth about the mysterious cattle deaths and some of the sightings that have been down in that area. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-6381.
You're listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services,
Michael Corbin.
And welcome back with my guest, Chris O'Brien, and we're talking about the mysterious San Luis Valley in southern Colorado, an area that has had just about virtually every aspect of the UFO phenomena. Chris, when we talk about unusual cattle deaths or cattle mutilations, now I understand that there was or there have been cases down there that you have investigated where there have been witnesses who support the idea that there were helicopters and human beings involved.
Yeah, there have been. Now, some of the, I think the closest that law enforcement may have come, with a couple of exceptions, in Montana and up in Canada, they got fairly close to thinking that they were going to catch some of the parties responsible. Obviously, multiple groups are involved in this. But we do have some cases on record down here where people have come around the corner in a car with a carload of full carload of people, six people in the car, and saw a helicopter landed next to the side of the road, and a cow was lying directly in the middle of the road with a strange apparatus and a kind of a steel pipe coming out of the cow. They couldn't see exactly what it was being used for. But there was a guy literally on top of the cow doing something with this mechanical apparatus. Of course, the carload of people, knowing about the claims of mutilations in the area, immediately went to the sheriff's office, and they came back within minutes. In fact, they met him on the way, flagged him down, and they got back, and of course, the helicopter and the cow were gone. There have been other cases, too, where helicopters have been seen in areas where, you know, the following morning, animals were found in a mutilated condition. But when people got too close in their cars, the helicopters would literally chase them all the way down off the hill. And we're talking, you know, 7-8 miles of being harassed by a very low-flying helicopter. There have been other cases, too, that that feature this type of very terrestrial agent who may be responsible for at least some of these deaths. Again, I don't really... I'm not sitting here trying to debunk the whole thing, saying that it's all the government or it's all, you know, quasi-governmental type operations at work here. You can't explain them all away with that scenario.
Right, I understand, but I think it's still very important to bring to light these other additional facts that indicate that there might be several levels of things going on down there.
Yeah, well, and I think in other places too. It's not. I don't think the San Luis Valley has the distinction of being the only place where this type of scenario may be unfolding. But I think it's thinnest here in the history of this. Back in the 70s, there were some real pointed scenarios that that were at play here. And again, it's very difficult to, you know, try to overlay that on the entire phenomenon worldwide, or especially in North America, but I do feel that other people got involved in this and used this particular thing as a way to manipulate people and put people into fear.
Okay, now when you say that, when you say who, or when you say that they, who is this, and you know where are they getting the access to the money for these things like helicopters and obviously the technologies? Have you gotten anywhere to finding out as far as what kind of instrumentation? Devices they're using to inflict these injuries?
Well, again, like you said, since it is so multifarious and there are so many levels and there is so much, you know, shadows inside of shadows hidden behind other shadows, that it's very difficult to differentiate which cases were done by this group or which cases were done by another group. And, of course, all this stuff that I'm putting forward to you and your listeners is all conjecture on my part. And just my opinion based on what I've been finding out here. But it could be, you know, it could be a ritual magic going on in some isolated cases. As soon as the media gets a hold of it, you tend to have more reports come out. So that tends to bring out copycats and pranksters.
Mm-hmm.
Misidentified scavenger action, let's, you know, be real about this whole thing, is the primary cause for many of these mutilated animal reports. I've investigated cases where ranchers have physically mutilated their own cows to collect insurance money.
Oh, really?
So it's very difficult to try to point fingers and try to figure out, you know, who's responsible for what. But it's a lot more complicated, and there's a lot more involvement with multiple agendas than some researchers and investigators in this realm would like to admit.
Okay. Now, what other features down there? Now, I understand that the there's something unusual about the 14,000 foot peaks that are there. Those are all privately owned?
Well, not all. We have quite a number of 14ers down here, but to my knowledge, it's the only place in the continental United States where you have privately owned 14,000 foot mountains. Malcolm Forbes has quite a lot of land here, or his estate does, and they do actually, the Forbes Ranch does actually go up to this one 14,000 foot peak, and also the Baca Ranch, which is right near me in the northern part of the valley, has a 14,000 foot mountain, on that ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 100,000 acre ranch that was awarded to the Baca family in 1821 as reparations for the Treaty of Joel del Lago.
Who owns that now? That's is that the
well? It's AWDI, the company that was going to try to pump out all the water. For your listeners, the San Luis Valley it's not only the largest alpine valley in the world, but it's also the highest freshwater aquifer in the world. And as we all know, gravity does tend to make things easy when you're pumping downhill. So, hence their desire to try to pump out millions of acre feet of water to the Front Range and possibly even down to California. Because of the opposition by the locals here in various environmental groups that got involved, we were able to get a judge to rule the whole move by American Water and Development to negate that whole scenario. So that's pretty much a dead issue now. But now, and then the gold companies come in, and now there's oil here. So it's a battle a minute down here on various fronts.
Sounds like it. Now, I know you've talked to numerous people over the time you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the sighting reports that you have heard that really do truly defy the idea that it might be some kind of prototype military advanced aircraft project? Do you have anything that you could share?
Well, again, that would, to try to make a line of demarcation between one and the other is very difficult, because quite honestly, I don't think any of us really have a firm handle on, what our government's capabilities are in terms of technology. They may have gravitational-based technologies that can make a very terrestrial craft appear to be very unterrestrial or extraterrestrial. We have reports of objects going all the way 60 miles across the valley in seconds, which we both know is physically impossible.
Sure.
We also have reports of extremely large triangle ships, similar to your Japanese, Belgium, and Hudson Valley sightings of 400 foot to 600 foot long wedge or triangular shaped ships. And what was interesting to me, in November, we had reports of maybe a smaller ship about half that size, but surrounded by helicopters.
Interesting.
So, it's very difficult to try to differentiate between one and the other. We have quite an interesting abduction claim that came from the area.
Okay.
In November, where the gentleman claims he was held hostage for 4 days, which he was. He was missing, and they were out looking for him. He was a hunter. He had rented a cabin.
Chris, let's hold that till we come back from this last break, or this next break, I should say.
Will do.
Okay? 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. When we come back from break, Chris is going to tell us about an abduction case that does have some mysterious or unusual things attached to it or surrounding it. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
It's been said the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers, investigators, and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions, valuable resources, and best of all, an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, citing reports, and much more, available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at Area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-429-2654.
A lot of people think that to appreciate culture, you've got to enjoy things like this. Or this. In early Mesopotamia, evidence of the first audit exists in the form of lists on clay tablets. Well, a lot of people respond to those things like this. Fabulous. Other people go... Is it over? For those of you in the category, you can't expect every cultural activity to appeal to everybody. That's why 23,000 arts and humanities groups called the National Cultural Alliance are offering you something everybody likes. A choice! For a free brochure about what's going on in your community, just call 800-NCA-8888. A little redundant? That's okay. And then you can get excited about something like this. Oh, yeah. William Tellytalk. The arts and humanities. There's something in it for you. The National Cultural Alliance and the Ad Council invite you to explore what's available in your community. Just call 800-NCA-888.
The mystery of UFOs, strange lights in the sky, crashed saucers, alien abductions, secret military projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet UFO Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest tonight is Chris O'Brien, and we're talking about the mysterious San Luis Valley of southern Colorado. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Now, Chris, before the break, you started telling us about an abduction case that the guy was indeed missing for 4 days.
Yes, he was a missing persons. Report had been filed by his family, and local search and rescue and law enforcement went looking for him. He had rented, or I guess hired, a cabin, if you will, on a fairly good sized mountain near here, and was supposed to come down in after the weekend, I guess, and didn't. They went out searching for him. They found some pretty interesting things. A bunch of his clothing was scattered around his campsite, and it was all burnt. And
did they determine how it was burnt?
Again, I haven't really gotten the details. There's another investigator who's handling all the details on this case. He's one that he actually lives right there, so makes a lot of sense for him to go ahead and investigate the whole thing. But I have talked to him about this, and to a couple of people that are familiar with the case from the area there. And the reason why I brought it up, you said, you know, how about real strange stuff that in terms of craft that can't be, you know, obviously attributed to an Earth-based technology. And one of the things he did say was that there were a lot of these beings, and they were dressed in kind of a dark camo, human in appearance, but somehow he knew that they were not from this world. Again, I haven't quite figured that one out yet, but who knows? It could have been an Aryan group doing maneuvers or something, But his comment about a ship landing right in front of him and these beings starting to load on board, and he realized that there was no way that ship was going to fit all these beings, and it expanded.
The ship
as they
expanded.
Loaded, went up in the air, and morphed into a cloud.
Wow.
Into a cloud shape.
Uh-huh.
That does not sound like even something that our government can do.
No.
So that's a fairly recent one that's pretty bizarre. We've also had other reports of, you know, of objects literally shooting, you know, thousands of miles an hour across the valley after being seen fairly close proximity and then stationary and then just taken off.
Just gone.
You know, in a typical type of UFO report. But there's some examples of some of the weirder ones that have been that have come to my attention and being investigated by myself or other investigators here.
Very interesting. Okay, let's take a call. We've got Ryan from our affiliate in Salt Lake, KCNR. Good evening, Ryan.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Thank you for calling. What's your question for our guest, Chris O'Brien?
I was wondering if Chris could elaborate as much as he could on how many and the circumstances under some of the Sasquatch sightings there in the area.
Well, yeah, that's a real good question. That's been one of the areas of my investigation and research, especially in the research end, that's been the most difficult. I've heard all, and even seen in print, legends and rumors of Bigfoot encounters here, but most of your Bigfoot experts would tell you very few of these creatures are seen in Colorado. And so I've always had my ear out. In fact, there's even local legends of a big hairy man called Boji that used to haunt one of the larger mines here. And I've seen references in a journal and a few other, you know, physical evidence, not just, you know, hearsay. But much to my surprise, a year ago, December, we had seven reports of seven Bigfoot encounters in a seven-day period.
Okay.
And this was capped by local law enforcement videotaping two sets of tracks coming all the way, winding down hundreds of yards down a fairly steep hill to a river. And in several of the sets of prints, one in particular, you can even see the toenail marks. And we're talking about... Shaquille O'Neal would be a baby one of these guys. 21 inch.
Did you see any? Personally, see any of the tracks in the area?
Pardon me?
Did you personally get to witness any of the tracks?
Not the actual tracks themselves. I have seen the tape, and I've talked to the officers involved. I've been to the area, and I've done a complete investigation on this myself. Talked to people, and what have you. The tracks are very difficult to argue with. If I was going to hoax something like this,
sure,
which would be the only other way those could have gotten there.
Now, are these related to any of the sightings and mutilations in the area?
Not directly.
Not directly.
But they occurred at the height of one of probably the most intense flat periods that we've had here in years.
Oh, very interesting. Can I make a comment real quick?
Sure, go ahead, Ryan.
You're in Utah and in Idaho. I've done a little investigation in this myself, and I've noticed a relation between the UFO sightings, the mutilations, Bigfoot in the particular area, and abductions in about three really good locations, two here in Utah and one in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this has been seen before in the past. There's a very famous case from Colorado called the Clearview case. It was investigated by Dr. Leo Sprinkle that had all those elements in it.
Right. Now, have you collaborated with Linda Moulton Howe there, down there? And
Oh, certainly. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Linda came out and helped me do a training seminar for local law enforcement in November.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She did mention that on the
one. Yeah, I think
Art Bell's
program,
corresponded
right
with Linda on occasion on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And she's aware of the Idaho situations.
Uh-huh.
There is a sheriff in Malad, Idaho, who was... investigated these mutilations for probably going on three decades now in about four or five different counties.
Uh-huh. Now, are you down by the reservation there below the lake, about 30 miles? I have some cases that I've heard about there, including one where a whole 30-head herd of goats was taken.
Well, what's the location on that?
Let me see, you go south of Coeur d'Alene towards the reservation. It's right on the Washington border.
This is in Idaho.
Idaho.
That's
yeah,
in the panhandle, uh-huh. I was referring to some incidents on the...
I don't have a map
Idaho
right here with me, but it is south of... south there. It's by the...
Okay.
Is it the Coeur d'Alene Reservation, I believe, out there?
Yeah, I believe I heard that. That's a recent happening, is it not?
Fairly.
Yeah, I believe I'm somewhat aware of that.
Be from the spring, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Got any other comments, Ryan?
Yeah, let me just mention this quickly here. I know you're running out of time here. I just have a suggestion for a possible future guest as well. Now his name eludes my memory here. He authored a book, Frank Salisbury, Dr. Frank Salisbury, Utah State University.
Okay.
Him and a co-author by the name of Junior Hicks, a resident in Roosevelt, Utah, in the Uinta Basin, they authored a book called The Utah UFO Display.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Ryan, give us a call.
Okay.
Give me a call on my number here. Copy it down real quick, and I'll give it to you.
It's
303-429-2654.
One more time on the last four digits.
2654.
2654.
Yeah, give me a call. I'll talk to you about that, okay?
429.
Right. 303-429-2654.
Okay, very good.
Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to go to our final break. And when we come back, I want to ask Chris about underground bases. I know there's been stories about that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet. A winning combination.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800. 669-1800.
Listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back. My guest is Chris O'Brien. He's talking about the mysterious San Luis Valley. And Chris, now, one of the subjects that I have heard quite a bit about down there is allegations of underground bases, mysterious sounds out there in the sand dunes. What do you know about that?
Well, this
funny if you looked at the body of evidence that suggests there's any sort of underground facility in the country. This would probably be it. The Indians talk about ant people that live underground here, where they go into the sapapu, which is a hole in the ground, and are cared for during earth changes by ant people. So this could be one of your earliest known references to some sort of underground facility. Now, going a little bit more up to date, there is some evidence to suggest that there is one, if not one, several underground facilities in our general area down here. Some of these are, you know, like the Dulce base, for instance, that supposedly exists, which I'm having a very hard time proving. Dulce is very close to here. It's within 60 miles of the San Luis Valley. And then along the border there's other locales, supposedly, where bases exist. Something here by the sand dunes themselves in this particular area, I can't find any real evidence of one, personally. But that's not to say that there isn't one.
So you've never heard anything?
I hear things all the time, but I need to document this stuff.
No, I'm talking about... Well, I had a fellow that... pretty credible guy here telling me that he had heard what sounded to him like some kind of a venting system out there in the sand dunes one night. And he said it was very loud and pronounced. Is this kind of consistent with what you hear down there too?
Huh, that's interesting. I've flown over and I've seen what looks like fresh digging or something out there. Again, they don't even know how old those sand dunes are. It's for your listeners, the Great Sand Dunes National Monument or Wilderness Area is a 49 square mile pile of sand going up to almost 800 feet that is really unusual. It's the highest sand dune desert in the world, and they don't know how it got there. Some of the earliest traces of man in North America are from around the sand dune area from 11,000 years ago. And they think that the dunes could be anywhere from 10 to 12,000 years is what the evidence suggests. So man could be coming here before those dunes were formed. So There's a lot of interesting things bouncing around with that. As far as physical sounds out in the dunes or any sort of venting system or evidence of something like that, I have not heard of any there. And I can see them out my window practically. So,
okay.
That's not to say that there isn't something. There's been rumors in this area for years of something going on out there, yet it's very difficult to document that. I've flown all over in a helicopter.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank you very much for making this a very enjoyable hour. We've enjoyed talking with you about the San Luis Valley.
Great. Always my pleasure, Michael. Well, I've been hearing great things about the show. Unfortunately, I don't get it down here. I need to contact you. I understand you have tapes for sale.
Yes.
Back shows.
Right.
But, yeah, it's always fun, and thank you, and look forward to our next visit together.
Okay, we'll have you back soon. Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Okay, we'll see you next week when we'll be back with the Paranet UFO Continuum. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.